Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Our guest today is Steve Strain. Steve is in his seventh season as the voice of Wichita State women's basketball. So we're going to recap the first four games and look ahead for the Shockers. Steve, let's start. I guess you're contractually obligated to talk about COVID for a broadcaster. I see you down there. You're kind of in your little plexiglass booth. Do you feel like you're on a game show or a quiz show? What's it like doing a broadcast in these strange times?
I'm reminded of the movie I saw when I was a kid with John Travolta, The Boy in the Plastic Bubble. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. That's kind of what it's like being down there. The good thing is, the first week of the season, I had not been able to test with the team because of full-time job and the holidays. I was gone. So Keitha couldn't even come over for a post-game interview after the games for that first couple of games. Alcorn State, game number two, and the season opener with A&M Corpus Christi. But starting last week, I took four COVID tests between Monday and Saturday, all negative. And in fact, I just took one here about half an hour ago. So that does enable her to come over now, the last couple of games, and at least do the post-game interview. And of course, they want to make sure that I'm doing that to travel with them. Once the game gets going, it's not a whole lot different. Because I'm essentially sitting in the same part of the arena, and you don't really notice that you're looking through plexiglass. I think Brad Pittman at Facilities here has done a great job with his staff of making all this, as workable for all of us as possible. So hats off to them. Haven't noticed a huge difference. I think that the main thing from the broadcast standpoint, Paul, is you miss the crowd. I always look behind me before the game starts just to get a feel for attendance and, of course, the noise that you miss. And that's the one thing. But, we're certainly not alone. This is something that's happening literally almost worldwide to some extent.
So you are officially in the bubble with the women's team. So, yes, I was going to ask about the crowd. So does that give you – or how do you deal with that? Because I guess – it would give you maybe more room to talk, but maybe you don't want to talk more. How do you kind of take your cues and how much air you fill?
There are times when the opponent may call a timeout because the Shockers are on a nice little run, and I like to say, listen to this crowd and just pause for a few seconds, and you don't get that now, yeah. So you've kind of got to just generate all that on your own and to talk about the play, because you can't talk about the crowd as getting into this now. You don't have that. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully it will be short-lived. I believe the policy is all we know right now is through the end of the calendar year, and maybe it'll be reevaluated in January if I understand it right. So hopefully it'll change soon. But it's different. But again, it's nothing like anybody else is going through. You just have to make a couple of minor adjustments and carry on.
Yeah, hopefully we will get fans in here at some point, because I think this will be an interesting team to follow. The Shockers are 3-1. They play again on Thursday here at home against South Dakota. That's their last non-conference game. They start American Athletic Conference play at Tulsa on December 16th. What are your impressions from these first four games, Steve?
I like what I've seen. She really wanted to go out and get more shooters, more scoring, and Coach Adams has done that. Yeah, I remember her specifically texting me about, we need a stretch four. We need a good stretch four. And I think that's Asia Strong. And she's shown that. She's got the ability to get out mid-range, knock down some 15, 17-footers. I don't know three-point stretch, but I don't know that you need that. But she can at least soften up the defense. And not only that, her ability to play inside and out, I think, is helping free up Carla Bremaugh and have some of the nice shooting performances we've seen from her. Carla really needed to have some pressure taken off of her, and that's the reason I think she struggled through some of her games last season. And she's had pressure taken off of her, so that's good. Rachel Johnson, very nice addition as well from a scoring standpoint. We've seen some of that. And then Baston is just terrific at what she does. DJ McCarty, good all-around player, Mariah McCulley. This team is much improved, Paul. I'm anxious to see them in conference play.
Asia Strong, you mentioned she is off to a fabulous start. Transfer from Trinity Valley, Texas. She is averaging 17 points and 5.8 rebounds. What struck me with her is her the versatility that you mentioned. She can do a lot of things inside. She's comfortable on the outside to a certain degree. And defensively, it looks like she can, you know, she's pretty rangy and athletic. Was she someone that the coaching staff was kind of counting on to fill this role from the start?
Yeah, definitely. At both ends of the floor. And she is long. And because she's put up some nice scoring numbers in the first four games, double digits in every game so far, that's going to get a lot of the attention. But she has some length, yeah. And you could also tell she was taken out of her game early in the Northern Iowa game yesterday. They were double-teaming her, putting a lot of attention on her. But again, that's just going to help out others. I think what she didn't recognize early in the game yesterday is, you know, when you're double-teamed, you don't have to shoot it. You know, you can find the open player, and she will. And in the second half, you know, she looked like a completely different player yesterday. She was 1-for-5 with 2 points at halftime yesterday against Northern Iowa, and she finished up with, I think, 22. So that was a strong second half once she started to just make some adjustments. They talked about it in the locker room. But, again, I like her game, but I like the pressure she's going to take off of others like Carla.
22 points and 13 rebounds for Asia Sunday in the game you referenced, Northern Iowa with a 93-91 double overtime win. Certainly a frustrating day for the Shockers. You would have liked to win that, but boy, just a very entertaining game to watch. And it seems like with Asia Strong and then Trajata Colbert has been playing very well.
Yeah.
They've been running some high-low, and it feels like they really feel they have some advantages they can exploit now with interior scoring. Would I be reading that correctly?
No, that's absolutely right. And they've needed an inside presence, this team has. And Colbert has, you know, she sat out a good part of last year with medical issues. But when she is there and she's right, she can be really good. And she has shown that the last couple of games now. And that's a career high that she put in yesterday, 21 points. And so she's physical, she's thick. Yeah, she's a really good player in the paint. Got a little bit of touch, too. You can get her out there 12, 15 feet. She's got the touch. And then with what Strong can bring as well, that is an inside presence that this team hasn't had much of in quite a while. And that will really complement their perimeter shooters for sure.
Trajata Colbert played 22 minutes yesterday, made 9 of 14 shots, and has finished with 21 points. Really strong on the offensive glass as well. She really played well. My impression is there are a lot of good individual parts to this. They're still waiting for them to kind of coalesce in the right way, kind of build that chemistry and that trust with each other. And I guess we can attribute at least part of that to just the wackiness of COVID, people in and out of practice. What's your observation along those lines?
Well, well, every team can pretty much say that, and it's true, and it's definitely valid. I think the thing that this team is facing that others aren't is just this continuous rash of injuries that literally go back a year that have not stopped. Keitha Adams has referred to it recently as we're trading cards, because just about when you get one player in, another one's out. Just like what happened the other day. I mean, last week, Mariah McCulley goes out, but you get Rachel Johnson. And then another player seems to get hurt, but you got another one coming back. But yesterday was the first game where they dressed 9. They had been dressing 8 through the first 3. So, hey, we're getting some headway here. But health, I think, Paul. COVID for obvious reasons, but everybody's in that boat. But this team with the concussion issues and other injuries, I think has had it even worse than others. Coach Adams said, because we've had so many injuries and illnesses and what have you, we're learning to run our press offense in games. They did not handle the press well against Southern in a close game. Southern mounted a late run. And Keith has said, well, you know what? We've had very little opportunity as a team to run our press offense because of illnesses and injuries. And she said, you know, something else that I think is relevant. Women's teams have male practice players that they practice against. The we call them the bombers here. They don't have those here because they're trying to keep the bubble nice and small. So they're with limited bodies. I mean, they're using managers because of illness and injury to get into practice and run some of these reps. So they're learning on the fly a lot of times. And with a lot of new players, I mean, Asia Strong, new player, Rachel Johnson, new player. So it's not just the fact that they've had illnesses, injuries, what have you, but they're trying to get new players in here all comfortable with each other. And that's just hard when you've got 8 good bodies or 9 good bodies. Hopefully that'll be changing come conference time.
You mentioned Rachel Johnson a couple times. She also had a nice game against Northern Iowa, 17 points. Made 6 of 8 shots, and she's off to a good start for 3-point shooting, which is something this team has needed. Impressions of Rachel Johnson and the role she's going to play on the Shockers.
Nice player. She's going to provide some of that scoring punch that they definitely need. 12 points per game. You can't complain about that. And you're really not far away. I mean, you don't need that 18, 19 point a game score. If you've got 3 or 4 that are right around 12, 10 or 12, you're going to score enough points to win a lot of basketball games. And she's another nice piece that's been added in. You know, the thing with junior college players is you always, you know, have to make sure that they have that adjustment time to adapt to this type of play. They're not going to be able to get away with some of the things they've gotten away with at the junior college level, but they do bring some experience that freshmen don't have, and Rachel is certainly going to be a nice tool for this team scoring wise. You know, she's been asked to handle the ball a little bit. She seems like she's pretty comfortable and confident there as well. So yeah, I think she's a really nice piece to this team's offense, which, by the way, overall, Paul, is well over 70 points per game now. I know that's going to be a little skewed because of the double overtime win yesterday, but their scoring was up anyway before yesterday. So she's just another reason why.
I thought Seraphine maybe was more assertive in the fourth quarter of that game Sunday, maybe did some things she didn't do against Southern as far as just kind of taking charge, and she really played well down the stretch to get that game into overtime. She's now junior, third year. Started almost every game here at Wichita State, if not every game, I guess. What kind of growth have you seen in her as Wichita State's point guards over her career?
You know, it's just understanding how to manage a game. It's not that she's got to score 12, 15 points a night. It's just running the offense and doing it efficiently, finding the right player in the right position to get off a good shot, and she's so good at that. This team, Paul, up until she got here, really struggled in end-of-quarter situations. No alertness as to where the clock was. They'd be dribbling with the game clock running out or the shot clock running out. That happened a number of times. You don't see that with her out there. So she's just got a great basketball IQ, tremendous chemistry with Carla Brimaud, which is certainly nice. And yeah, yesterday with the game on the line, Seraphine had not done a whole lot up until late in the game. But with it on the line, Coach Adams called her number not once but twice, and she got to the free throw line and knocked down some clutch free throws.
Shocker struggled with turnovers yesterday, and I guess you would hope that is the thing as they get more time together, more productive practice time. That's going to be something they can cut down. They had 25 against the Panthers. And in a double overtime game, of course, you're going to look back on a lot of those things. And, you know, a few less turnovers would have really been helpful at that point.
There's no question about it. And Coach Adams alluded to that in our post-game conversation and a lot of traveling calls. And some of that, though, I will give him a pass because Northern Iowa just really sped that game up. It was a really fast game with a lot of possessions, even within the 40 minutes, taking away the overtimes. That was a fast-paced game, and I think sometimes, especially for the new players, even the JUCO players, it got a little too fast, and that's when Asia Strong maybe got called for some travels. And Northern Iowa, as they've always done, did a great job of drawing charges, which is obviously going to lead to more turnovers as well. And I think I don't think I've ever called a game where there are more charges than that game yesterday, even without going to overtime. So some of that I think can be attributed to the competition, because prior to yesterday, Paul, they have averaged, I think, about 13 turnovers per game, which is about 5, I think, down 5 or 6 from where they were last year. So I think they're better. Maybe yesterday was just a little bit of an anomaly based on the opponent and the 2 overtimes. But if they can cut that down and add some more scoring, which they've done, this team could be a much improved team.
Full credit to Northern Iowa. Definitely their pick third of the Missouri Valley Conference, and they've had a strong program for many years and certainly played well.
And let me just say this. Last year's any of other team going probably back 6 years would not have stayed on the floor in that game yesterday with Northern Iowa, let alone come back from 18 down.
The Panthers led by 18, as you said, and then the Shockers just really played a great fourth quarter to get it to overtime. And then got into the second overtime before Northern Iowa ended up winning it. Let's talk about the American Athletic Conference for the Shockers. They get started December 16th at Tulsa, as I said. Big difference, no UConn. What's your thoughts on how that changes the American Athletic Conference?
Well, I had been saying for a while that, hey, it's wide open now. You know, you get to that conference tournament, and it's like any other conference now. Whoever gets hot at tournament time can win that thing and get to the dance, and we're right in there, and we still could be. But then you look at South Florida, who plays Baylor the other night and loses by 5 points. Baylor ranked number 4 in the nation. And then last night they beat Mississippi State, who's also a top 10 team. So South Florida actually may be a team that is head and shoulders above the rest. But, again, it's still early. If this Shocker team gets healthier, which they will, and continues to develop and score more and play better, I think this could be a very good team. Because after South Florida, even if they are maybe a notch above the rest, I think you can take the Cincinnati's and the Temples and the Wichita States. I think there are a lot of teams that could create, Paul, a real logjam right underneath South Florida, if not, you know, play with South Florida. So they might be a notch above the rest, but I'd look for a real dogfight anywhere from 2 through 6 or 7. I think there are a lot of teams that could really, really challenge and make things interesting throughout conference play.
Yeah, Saturday was a good night for the American Athletic Conference with USF defeating number 6 ranked Mississippi State. Houston defeated Auburn.
Mm.
All right. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate your time.
Always happy to do it, Paul.
Hello, we're back with Bob Hall, voice of Shocker basketball on the TV and radio. We're going to talk about the men's team for a few minutes. They are 1-1 with a victory over Oral Roberts and a loss to Missouri. They play Oklahoma State at Koch Arena on Saturday before getting into American Athletic Conference play. Bob, let's start with Isaac Brown taking over in a kind of a interesting situation. He's got a lot going on between COVID, the transition, all of that. And so when you're shorthanded, you know, you're practicing 4-on-4, you've got guys in and out, those kind of things. Talk us through some of the challenges that a coaching staff is going through, you know, just trying to get everybody organized, comfortable in their roles, all those kind of things that coaches need to do.
Well, it would be a challenging season anyway with all the new players from the change from last year's team to this year's team. Then you throw in a coaching change 3 weeks before the season, and that complicates things. And now you're moving up an assistant coach. And then you throw in COVID-19, where you've got you don't know if you're going to be playing games or not. And you're counting on 3 games up in Sioux Falls against really, really good competition to help this young team mature. And all of a sudden, those games are lost. And so it's been very, very difficult. And I think Isaac Brown's doing a really nice job. It was a big win over Oral Roberts, that first home game. That was the first game out there. They had no exhibition games, no practice scrimmages, and losing those games in Sioux Falls. So winning that game against Oral Roberts, who had played a couple of games, I thought that was a big win for him. And then I think playing Missouri the other night, I think was a really, you know, eventually you got to run up against a team like that. And they might have done it up in Sioux Falls with West Virginia or someone along that line. But Missouri is kind of the kind of team that's experienced, that has a bunch of older players that really know what they're doing. They've played together for a number of years, and they're big, they're strong, they're deep. They got a really good coach in Konzo Martin. And that's the kind of team that the Shockers are going to face in Houston and Memphis, and the defense like Temple plays, defense like, you know, teams in the league play Cincinnati. So it's really good for a coach. I know Isaac Brown's trying to get the message across to these guys, as Coach Greg Marshall would have, that, hey, you got to do the little things right against the really good teams, or you're not going to be successful. And sometimes the players nod and say, yeah, okay, coach. And they don't really understand until they get up against a really good team like a Missouri team, and they, you know, going through running the offense like they're running, it just doesn't work. It doesn't function right. So it's all about setting a screen at the right angle, cutting at the right angle, timing your passes, cutting hard, and hitting the guy at the right time. So they weren't doing those things against Missouri, and so they weren't getting good shots, and that's why they got down early and struggled. But you got to learn the lessons, and young teams, I think Isaac Brown is going to use his Missouri loss to cement some of the lessons that they're trying to talk about in practice.
Yeah, this was a team that really could have used not just an exhibition game, but the closed scrimmage that they've done.
Absolutely.
You know, anytime. Just, you know, 4, 5, 6 hours of teaching against another opponent really would have helped this. Help this bunch. What are your other main impressions so far from the first two games and the practices that you've seen?
I thought Dexter Dennis had made a couple of nice comments after the ball game, and one of the things that he said was that they're going to get better. It's going to be a good team. They're really together, and they just got to smooth out offensively, and then they've got to do the little things well. They got to get back on defense. They got to talk better. But he talked about not being in game shape yet. And I don't know if people realize that you can run all the sprints you want in practice, but it's not the same as playing a full court basketball game. The only way you get in shape for games is by playing games. And it's just a different thing out there when you're required to sprint up and down the floor 4 or 5 consecutive times. And if the referees don't blow the whistle for fouls and there aren't any turnovers, all of a sudden, you know, you're in oxygen debt, and you've got to play through fatigue. And so you really don't get in game shape until you just play games. So that will come. And then having more depth will help. Obviously, with only 8 guys and with Ricky Council being the 9th the other night, you know, their depth will really help when they've got more guys that can run in and out of there. But I think this team, I think looking at it from the just seeing them in practices and a couple of ball games now, I think they're going to be strong at guard, Paul, with Altre Gilbert at point, Tyson Etienne at 2, and Dexter Dennis playing the small forward. I think that's going to be their strength. And they've got some adequate guys, good guys inside, but they're going to have to learn how to finish and score a little bit better. They're going to need Mo Udeze and Poor Bear Chandler and Trey Wade to finish shots and score inside. But I think that will help smoothing out the offense and getting their timing down and everybody getting more familiar with the offense and their roles. I think we'll get the bigger guys some easier shots inside. I saw there were opportunities against Missouri when guys were open, but they had cut too early or the ball was swung too late, and the play was just – the timing was just off on the play. So that will come, and those guys will get some easier shots. But I think this team is going to be real strong at guard and then developing along the front line.
The Shockers have committed 17 turnovers in 2 games, which is good. They've only got 20 assists in 2 games, which is probably not where you want to be. In my mind, if you had to pick out a statistic that maybe tells – the struggles of this offense, those two would be it. They're not turning the ball over, which is good, but they're not turning the ball over because they're not running the offense maybe as well as you would as you would like. Would you agree with that observation?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good point. Actually, the only having 7 turnovers in that opening game against Oral Roberts was pretty amazing, I thought, for a first time out and with a lot of new guys and a lot of new people playing different spots and all. But against Missouri, I think they were exposed. You know, they just didn't run the offense with the precision that you have to run it to get good shots against a defense like that. Now, we're talking about an elite defensive team in Konzo Martin's Missouri team. They're big, they're strong, and they're a bunch of juniors and seniors that have played together. So that's a tough test, but they'll have to play, like I said, they'll have to play against people like that when they go play against Houston or play against Memphis. So it's good. It's good that you have to go through that now. But I think the assist, for one thing, they weren't getting really good shots in the Missouri game, and they were forcing shots up late in the shot clock, and that's usually not very good for your shooting percentage. And then I thought Tyson Etienne was missing some shots that he normally hits. So he just didn't have a very good shooting night, and Dexter Dennis needs to get some more shots, and the big guys were having trouble finishing inside. So I think that stuff will come, but yeah, I think right now the lack of assist really points to the fact that they're not really executing their offense very well.
Yeah, it hadn't been unusual to do stories or hear Greg Marshall talk about you need to trust the offense, you need to let the offense work for you, you know, even in past years. So I think that is something that this team is going through a little bit right now.
And, Paul, in past years, remember, we would have had three or four games against some teams that we had paid money to come in here and play, you know, some Arkansas States and maybe Newman, maybe some different games where you've got some opponents in here where you necessarily don't have to play great to still win the ball game. So we're just not going to have those games this year.
You mentioned Alterik Gilbert, a newcomer who's made a great first impression. Clarence Jackson has played well. Run through those two for me, your thoughts on what they've shown so far.
Well, Alterik has just been a great find. The fifth-year senior from Connecticut is experienced. He can play point guard but can also score, can knock down the three. He's really, really good at penetrating. He's very difficult to stay in front of, so I think the way he can run the offense and penetrate, it's going to create more open shots for Tyson Etienne and Dexter Dennis and the shooting perimeter players. The thing about Alterik Good also is he has that sense of pace of play, you know, kind of like Fred VanVleet, where he doesn't get sped up too often. He knows when to go fast, he knows when to go slow, and he keeps his head up and he finds the open man. So I've been really impressed with him, and I think he's going to be just a super point guard for the team this year. And Clarence Jackson, after watching him in practice a couple of days, I was like, okay, here's a guy that's really going to help this year. I mean, he's a sophomore. He's got a year of junior college ball underneath his belt. I think he had maybe a year of prep ball prior to that. So he's an older guy that has just got a great motor. He just plays hard all the time. He loves to rebound. He loves contact. He's not afraid. He's not shy at all about going in there with the big guys and putting up shots. And he's just got a knack for getting the ball in the basket. So I think he's going to be a guy that's going to play a lot for the Shockers this year.
Yeah, he's off to a really nice start, averaging 11.5 points and 7.5 rebounds. It seems like one of those real play-hard energy guys that Shocker fans really like. We're optimistic we'll get some more Shockers back for Saturday. Who's going to help the most? Who's most ready to step in and maybe give this team a good 15 minutes or something like that?
Well, it's hard to predict. But if I had to guess, I'd say probably Craig Porter, because he's got the experience. He played point guard, off guard, 2 years for Vincennes. They won the national title in Hutchinson 1 year, and I think they got to the finals or quarterfinals or semifinals one other year. So he's been winning at a really high level at the junior college ranks, and so he's an experienced guy, a fundamental guy that can shoot it, can handle it, can play the point guard and sub for Alterik, can also slide over the two guard and sub for Tyson Etienne. And I've been impressed with him in practice, so I think he's going to help. I think we saw a little bit out of Ricky Council the other day against Missouri. He's an athlete, kind of a larger, taller version of Dexter Dennis. He can shoot it outside. He can slash to the basket. He runs the court. He rebounds. So I think he's going to help. Obviously, they need help inside. So hopefully Jaden Seymour is ready to come in there off the bench and help. 6'9", 230-pound freshman who I think, you know, he's green, but he's athletic, and he plays hard and does a lot of good things in practice, so hopefully he'll help. And then Joseph Appelau, the player from France that sat out last year, I think he has potential to help a lot inside because of his size and his athleticism. He kind of tends to want to float outside. He's kind of a guy that likes to shoot threes and play outside and handle the ball, but And that's good, but they're going to need him inside too, subbing at the five spot with Mo Udeze and poor Bear Chandler, because, you know, those big guys, you just pick up fouls. When you're playing inside, it's just real easy to get in foul trouble. So they're going to need all three of those guys.
I would agree on Craig Porter based on what I've seen. I think he's going to be he's just really solid guy. He can do a lot of things handling the ball, and he's going to be very helpful for their perimeter depth. He'll be a nice guy to get back.
You know, another guy you notice in practice, Paul, is Chauncey Jenkins. He's just one of those guys that you just notice him because he's always around the ball. He's quick. He's got good size and plays inside, plays outside, runs the court, rebounds. So I think he's got the potential to help some as well.
It will be nice to have more options, whether for foul trouble or one guy's not playing well, all those kind of things. It would be nice as they are able to, you know, to get back to better numbers.
Definitely. And it'll be nice for be able to go 5-on-5 in practice. I mean, when you can only go 4-on-4 in practice, it's really hard to get your offense in shape when you can't even go 5-on-5. So that's going to be big.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of teams are going through this kind of stuff, definitely, without question, but it seems to have hit the Shockers particularly hard here at the start of the season. Bob, broadcasting in the pandemic, in the bubble, what's that been like?
Well, it's weird not having a crowd there. So that was just strange. We did that television game, the Oral Roberts game, and it was just kind of freaky to be in Coke Arena, and we're getting ready for tip-off, and there wasn't that buzz or that roar. I mean, you noticed it when you walked in the building, and there wasn't that buzz out on the concourse, and then you definitely noticed it during the national anthem, and then the introductions and the tip-off. It was just weird. The other thing is you can hear the players, and you can hear the coaches. You can hear what they're yelling out. You can hear what the opponents are yelling out. You can hear the guys talking to each other. You can hear the referees sometimes. So that's a little bit different. But they've got us off the court a little bit. We're about 10 feet back from the court, and we have plastic barriers around us to protect us and protect the people around us. So that's a little bit different, but I didn't notice it affecting our sidelines or anything with Shane and myself. But it's just strange. It's strange not having the fans. I hope we can get them back soon.
That would be nice. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos. No good. 1 second. It's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.